here to able to talk about the things of mercy. I just thinking about, you know, when talking about the things of mercy, I think about the history of the church. And then I think about in the Middle Age already, we see that there are some form of devotions that really help us to appreciate the love and the mercy of God. We think about Our Lady. She is a wonderful image of the mercy of God. And I think about in the 13th century, there are two important devotions that really help us to appreciate that mercy of God expressed through devotion to Our Blessed Mother. You think about in the 13th century, there is the story about Our Lady appeared to St. Simon Stock and gave him the brown scapula. And the brown scapula is a sign of the mercy of God, because we all know the famous promise that those who die wearing the brown scapula would escape the eternal fire of hell. And so it's become a popular devotion. And it was said that Our Lady appeared to St. Simon Stock at the night between July 15 to 16, and so the Feast of Our Lady of Mount Carmel, July 16 every year. And then also there's the legend that Our Lady appeared to St. Dominic and also asked him to promote the devotion of the Holy Rosary. And also it's a prayer that obtained mercy from God through the intercession of Our Blessed Lady. So those two devotions in the 13th century, the rosary and the brown scapula, is already a wonderful way for the people to experience the mercy of God, because Our Lady, she herself really is the image of the mercy of God. And Saint Maximilian Kolbe will actually also in a prayer composed to honor Our Lady, will say to Our Lady that God entrusts the entire order of mercy to her. So that back in the 13th century. And I think about then, you know, there is the Protestant revolt, and there was the people have different kind of weird idea about God, and also lead into heresy like Jansenism, which is a kind of heresy that become really strict in a way that have that sense of fear instilled into the heart of people. And people will have that fear that they do not want to receive Jesus in communion. They think that to receive communion, not only a person need to be in a state of grace, but to be really holy. And then at that time there was, it's not a healthy spirituality. People, like even a bishop, would boast that nobody in his diocese would receive a communion unworthily. Because the fact is, really few actually would dare to receive communion. They would discourage them to come to receive communion. So nobody received, I mean, nobody received unworthily. And so even there's some story that people would put an angry Jesus picture, you know, in the church, you know, to basically, it's a bit of a distance between God and the people. So that Jansenism actually is a kind of heresy that instills fear into the hearts of people. And so God wants to respond to that. And we see at that time there was, when in the 17th century, there was the famous apparition of Jesus to St. Margaret Mary, the Sacred Heart of Jesus. You think about, you know, it's a different image. It's not the angry Jesus, but it's the merciful Jesus, the heart of Jesus, burning with love for us. And then instead of discourage people to come to communion, Jesus asked St. Margaret Mary, you know, to invite people to go to communion once a month, to encourage people to receive communion on the first Friday of the month in reparation for sin. And Jesus made that big promise that, you know, for those who go to first Friday for 9 months, Jesus, you know, promised the grace of final penitence, and also, you know, to help people to receive the sacrament before the person died. And so it's a powerful promise that that first Friday devotion, instead of, you know, having the seeing God as a angry God, we see that loving image, the heart of Jesus. Instead of discourage people to come to communion, there is the encouragement for frequent communion. So in those days, once a month is quite frequent already. So that was something new at that time in the 17th century, to receive Jesus much more frequently in Holy Communion with the intention in reparation for sin, to comfort Jesus. And then also at that time, to fight against Jansenism, we see also some of the saints. They also promote a warm devotion to God and to our Blessed Lady. You have things like Saint Louis Marie de Montfort. He promote devotion to our Blessed Lady, a warm devotion to consecrate oneself to our Lady. All that we are, all that we have, our body, our soul, and also all that we have, spiritual goods, material goods, to entrust to our Lady. And then you have things like Saint Alphonsus Liguori. He also, you know, at that time, he promote devotion to Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. He promote devotion to meditate on the Passion of Christ. He promote devotion to our Blessed Lady. So all those devotion to our Lady, to Jesus, help people to have that relationship with Jesus and Mary, and really have that trust in the mercy of God, trusting in the intercession of our Blessed Lady, but also thinking about the Holy Eucharist and also the Blessed Sacrament is a wonderful way for us to really experience the love of Jesus, the merciful love of Jesus. Because, you know, Jesus expressed his love for us by dying on the cross, by going through all the suffering. And also Jesus expressed his great love for us by giving us as food in Holy Communion, by being present in the church, that we can adore him, that we can visit him, talk to him. And so those devotion, you know, to the Blessed Sacrament, to the Passion of Christ, devotion to Our Lady, they all help us to obtain grace, but also to really see the love and mercy of God. And then we have in the 19th century, later on, we move forward now to the 19th century, the 1800s. Then you find that in the 19th century, then also in the 20th century, you got some of the great saints that God raised up to manifest the mercy of God in the confessional. Like St. John Vianney in the 19th century, he spent hours every day in the confessional, dispensing the mercy of God, and he was had the special gift, you know, to read mind, a prophecy of attracting people to go to confession. And then, you know, also in the 19th century, we have St. John Bosco. St. John Bosco, again, you know, when he visited France, people call him the John Vianney of Italy, because, you know, he also able to read minds. He was also able to have special gift in the confessional. But of course, we know that St. John Bosco, also, he was a saint who had prophetic dreams. Now, in his dream, he had a lot of tough issue about how to direct souls. You know, the dream about the state of soul of all the young people in the school. Who are the ones who really preserved the innocence of baptism? Who were the ones who actually lost the grace of God but regained through repentance? Who are the people in the school who are obstinate in sin? And then he also, you know, have dreamed about issue like how to preserve chastity, how to avoid sin. You know, what are the sins that lead people to hell? Those are pretty heavy issues. But oftentimes in his dreams, he also, you know, not only is about the moral life, that how we have to ought to live the moral life. It's also about the means of grace. How can we obtain grace to do what we ought to be doing? How do we obtain grace to keep the commandments? And so in his dreams, yes, sometimes it can be scary about hell, about damnation, about, you know, it's about justice of God. But and then you also see the mercy of God in his dream, that actually there are means that we can do what we ought to be doing, given to us like confession, like devotion to the Blessed Sacrament, devotion to Our Lady. something like St. Alphonsus the Glory himself promote. St. John Bosco, in his prophetic dreams, again and again and again, he had the dream about the important to make good confession, to have devotion to Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament, to have devotion to our Blessed Lady. And so we have to, when we want to keep the commandments, we want to do what is right. We do it not with our own strength, but really by the help of God. And so those are the spiritual means given to us. And then also, you know, I just want to also expand a bit about St. John Bosco, that he also had that trust in divine providence, that the loving care of God. And so even though he had no money, he was able to build so many schools, help so many poor students, even start the project to build a big basilica of Mary Help of Christians to honor Our Lady. Took on the project, because of the request of Pope Leo XIII, to build a big basilica of the Sacred Heart in Rome to honor the Sacred Heart of Jesus. But also at that time in Turin, there was a lot of social problems because people were going from the country or even from outside other places to Turin, want to find jobs. But there's not enough jobs for everybody. So a lot of social problem there. And so in Turin, it's not only St. John Bosco, but also many other holy people. In order to respond to the social problems, they rely on divine providence and able to do amazing things to help the poor people. You know, Sister Rhonda belonged to the order of the daughter of St. Mary of Providence, founded by St. Luigi Gunella. And St. Luigi Gunella was actually, you know, with St. John Bosco, except for 3 years, you know, in order to gain experience. And then like St. John Bosco and some other saints in turn, have that charismatic reliance on divine providence. So there have been a good number of saints at that time, you know, in Italy, they have that reliance on divine providence, and they did amazing things to build up institutions, to help the poor people. You know, they have no money, but always when they need money, money will come. And so they rely on divine providence and have so many people. So on the one hand, they experience mercy from God. You know, they trust in the loving care of God and God look after them, but also they also manifest the mercy of God by helping so many poor people. So they manifest the mercy of God. And then we come to the 20th century. We have also saints that really, again, in the confessional, St. Leopold is, you know, the Pope has his relics in St. Peter Basilica with Padre Pio, both are Capuchin priests. And they both, again, have the gift of the confession. They spend many hours in the confessional with special gifts to help penitent to experience the mercy of God. But also, you think about a saint that is in the 19th century, but became well known in the 20th century, and I got her relics in the middle, in the bottom, inside that little wooden container is the bone of St. Teresa. You think about St. Teresa, the little flower. She was a saint that really devoted to the mercy of God. She trusted God as the loving Father. Last year, on October 18, the parents of St. Teresa, they were both canonized. So it was because of that experience of the home that also helped to form her to see God as loving Father. She experienced the love of her earthly parents that really helped her to see God as loving Father. And so she trusted God's mercy. Now, St. Teresa, the little flower, she made an act of offering. She offered her life as a victim to the mercy of God. She think about that they are great saints. They offer themselves as victims to the justice of God. They are victim souls in the history of the church. You know, because they want to make up for the sins of others. And so, you know, God allowed them to be victims so that been so that they suffer all their life. They will be a stick on a bed. And so they've been sick for many, many years. And so they were victims so they offered themselves to satisfy the justice of God. And Saint Teresa, she thought that she was a little soul, a small soul. She think that she could not do that, you know, to offer, it would be too much for her, a little soul to offer herself as a victim to the justice of God. But she think about, you know, if the justice of God want to be released, but also that the mercy of God, because in many places, the mercy of God is not known, it's rejected, people turn to creatures, and they don't go to the mercy of God. So she offered herself as a victim to the mercy of God and asked the Lord that the merciful love that other people rejected would come to her. And so she offered herself as a victim to the mercy of God. And so St. Teresa, the little flower, she loved God as a loving father, and she offered herself as a victim to the mercy of God. Now, St. Teresa, little flower, was also, you know, we think about the saints of the divine mercy, especially St. Faustina. She did have a devotion to St. Teresa, the little flower. When she finished first year novitiate, St. Faustina had 18 months of spiritual darkness, hard to pray, hard to meditate, lots of temptation, fear, doubt, and even a sense of despair. And she decided one time to renew her devotion to St. Teresa and make a novena to St. Teresa. On the fifth day of the novena, she had a dream of St. Teresa. And Teresa told Faustina that she too suffered a lot while she was on earth. And then she also, when Faustina asked about, you know, is Faustina herself going to be a saint? And Teresa said, yeah, you'll be a saint in one day. And then when Faustina asked, you know, was she going to be a saint like Teresa, like canonized saints? And Teresa told her, you know, yes, you will be, but you have to trust in Jesus. So when she was in her novitiate, the novice mistress always told her to trust in Jesus. That trusting in Jesus, in God, like little children, is the key to obtain grace. And then also in that dream, again, Teresa, little flower, told Faustina to trust in Jesus. And so we find that, you know, that trust, even before Jesus appeared to St. Faustina, is already people teaching her about that trust is so important. Now, when they're thinking about the mercy of God, especially I think about Our Lady of Fatima, and also about the devotion of the Divine Mercy. Those are the two important perfect revelations, really, for our time and age. This year is the 100th anniversary of the apparition of the angel to the children in Fatima. So next year will be the 100th anniversary of Our Lady appearing in Fatima in 1917. So when the angel appeared to the three children, Francisco, Jacinta, and Lucia, actually also on my left hand side, there is from the coffin of Francisco and Jacinta. So it's also the relics of the two little children of Fatima. So when the angel appeared to the three children, it was in the spring, the summer, and the fall of 1916. So in the first apparition, the angel invited the children to say the prayer in reparation for sin. So the angel's important message is reparation for sin, make up for the sins of others. So the angel taught the little prayer, "Oh my God, I believe, I adore, I hope, and I love thee. I ask pardon for those who do not believe, do not adore, do not hope, and do not love you." So that's the prayer that the angel taught the three children in the first apparition. And then in the second apparition, during summertime, when the children were by the well, you know, behind the house of Lucia's family. They were maybe playing, a bit wasting time. And so the angel asked them, "What are you doing? Pray, pray very much. The heart of Jesus and Mary have designs of mercy on you. Offer prayers and sacrifices constantly to the Most High." So the angel actually would tell the three children, "The heart of Jesus and Mary have designs of mercy on you." So that's whole operation of Our Lady. The prophetic revelation of Fatima is the designs of mercy of the heart of Jesus and the heart of Mary. So Lucia asked the angel how to do sacrifice, and the angel that gave her a lesson to make whatever you can a sacrifice. So there are many things in life we can offer that up as a sacrifice, our daily duty. You know, every day we can always do something, something that we know we ought to do but we don't like to do, we do it. You know, children do their homework, adults do their, you know, work at in the workplace or at home. You know, something that we don't feel like doing at time when we are tired, but we do them for love of God. That's a sacrifice. But also many other things that we cannot control. There can be times that we feel not well, we feel tired, or we feel sick, or we're getting weaker because of we're getting older, or you know, getting more forgetful. You know, I can think about when I was first ordained, I was so well remember my schedule. Sometimes I get forgetful now, you know. So forgetful, you know. So it's all kinds of things that we can offer that up to God. You know, those are little sacrifices. So we can offer up those sacrifices to God. And then the third operation of the angel in the fall of 1916, the angel would actually talk to few children about a communion in reparation for sin. The angel appeared with the chalice and the host. And so the angel would actually say the prayer, you know, three times. "Most Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I adore you profoundly. I offer you the most precious body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ, present in all the tabernacles of the world in reparation for the outrages, sacrileges, and indifferences whereby he is offended. And through the infinite merits of his most sacred heart and the immaculate heart of Mary, I beg of you the conversion of poor sinners." So when you think about that prayer taught by the angel, it's a bit like that mercy prayer of St. Faustina. You know, really similar. To offer up the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus to God. And also asking for the conversion of sinners. So we of course, in the Divine Mercy, we say, "Have mercy on us and on the whole world." So it's offer up and also a supplication. So I find that two prayer is so similar. And to offer up Jesus. And it's you know, that prayer, and also the Divine Mercy prayer, is like the extension of the sacrifice of the Mass. Because at the Mass, we as the, you know, the baptized people, we share in the priestly function of Jesus. We, you know, the baptized people with the priest together, we offer up the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ to the Eternal Father. That's what happened at the Mass. And so when we say those prayer, we actually, it's like the extension of the sacrifice of the Mass. You know, and so those kind of prayer are really powerful. And after saying those prayer three times, the angel gave the host to Lucia, and then the precious blood to Francisco and Jacinta. And then basically it's a message of to receive communion in reparation for sin. The angel said, "Take and drink the body and blood of Jesus Christ, horribly outraged by ungrateful men. Repair their crimes and console your God." So we can see that, you know, that the signs of mercy. At that point, the angel let the children kneel. It's about making sacrifice, but also making reparation. Pray, sacrifice, and reparation. That's the key message of the angel. And then in 1917, Our Lady appeared to the three children. I think you all know it was, you know, from May 13 to October 13. On May 13 is in the first apparition. Every time Lucia always asked Our Lady, "What do you want of me?" And Our Lady almost always would say, "Pray the rosary." You know, at that time it was World War I. The world really need prayer. And so Our Lady asked people to pray the rosary for peace in the world, but also for the conversion of sinners. For peace in the world and also for the conversion of sinners. And also, of course, another important message at that time was that Lucia asked Our Lady, "Is she going to heaven?" She said, "Yes, you will." And how about Jacinta? "Yes, she will." Papa Francisco? "Yes, but he must first pray many rosary." So it's also about that longing for heaven. And then also at that, and also on May 13th, there is a traditional feast day of Our Lady of the Blessed Sacrament. You know, Our Lady of the Blessed Sacrament is a title of Our Lady that actually honor on that day, May 13th. And so when Our Lady finishing the apparition on May 13th, the three children felt the impulse inside them, and then they say the prayer, "O most Holy Trinity, I adore you. My God, I love you in the most blessed sacrament." So that's on May 13th. The children just felt that impulse in their heart to say the prayer. So they are being taught interiorly that beautiful prayer to honor Jesus in the blessed sacrament. June 13th apparition is a big continuation of that longing for heaven. Because Lucia asking Our Lady, want her to take them all three to heaven. They all want to go to heaven. And then Our Lady at that point should predict what will happen to the three children. That two of them will be to heaven soon, Francisco and Jacinta. But Lucia will be on earth, and so Lucia was a bit sad, you know, thinking that she was being left behind. But Our Lady comforted her that my Immaculate Heart will be your refuge and the way that will lead you to God. So there is a mission for Lucia to really to make known Our Lady. But also because God wants to, through Lucia, to establish devotion to the Immaculate Heart. So that the signs of mercy become more clear now. It's prayer, sacrifice, reparation, but also all centered on, you know, or through the mediation of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. So that's an important mission for Lucia about the Immaculate Heart. After the June apparition, you know, actually Lucia was in great doubt because, you know, her family was a mess because the mom didn't like the whole thing. She wanted to force Lucia to confess that she was lying. The parish priest was a bit hesitant, thinking, you know, why there's so many secrets, you know, and so the priest thinking, maybe it's from the devil. And so, and then poor Lucia, you know, at home it looked like hell already. And then the priest say it's from the devil, so she actually got nightmare about the devil. So Lucia had to make the decision, I'm not going back. And so she refused to go back. And then so Francisco and Jacinta, you know, they were younger cousins of Lucia. They didn't know what to do. Lucia didn't want to go. They didn't dare to go by themselves. And so on July 13th, supposed to be the day for apparition, you know, Francisco and Jacinta just hiding in their bedroom and Jacinta just crying because they didn't know what to do. But suddenly there was a strong impulse in the heart of Lucia. She felt that she must go. And so she just went out, went to the house of Francisco and Jacinta, and then say to them, well, aren't you going? And then Jacinta say, you know, without you, we did not dare to go. And then Lucia said, come on, I'm going. So, and then with happy faith, they all went to see Our Lady. Turned out to be July 13 was one of the most important apparitions in human history. Because it was at that apparition that we have the famous three secrets of Fatima. It was, you know, the first part is about the vision of hell. And then also, and then the second part is that Our Lady said, you know, to prevent sinner going to hell, God want to establish on earth, you know, this is really the great means of mercy. To prevent people going to hell, God give that merciful means, devotion to the Immaculate Heart. Our Lady also predict there will be a Second World War at that time. There's a First World War, it's not yet finished yet. But she already predicted, because when people keep on sinning, there will be a much more terrible world war. And that came true. And then also, but also already predicted that to establish devotion to the Immaculate Heart, she would come back for two things, to ask for two things. The first Saturday devotion, and also the consecration to the Immaculate Heart. So those are the two things that Our Lady going to ask. She will come back to ask for those two things regarding devotion to the Immaculate Heart. The third secret of Fatima is about the persecution of the church, that a lot of lay faithful, priests, bishops, religious, and even a bishop dressed in white being shot and attacked. And so it was about the persecution of the church. So when St. John Paul II had the assassination attempt on him, he really saw that bishop dressed in white was himself. And so when he was recovering, you know, he really believed that Our Lady saved his life. The attempt was 1981, May 13. And so while he was recovering, you know, those two devotion in his mind, Divine Mercy and also Fatima, and he wanted to read about those two particular devotions and public revelation. And so that's July. And then also Our Lady at that time also taught two important prayers to the children. One is that Our Lady require that when we pray the rosary at the end of each decade, we say the prayer, "Oh my Jesus, forgive us our sins, save us from the fire of hell, lead all souls to heaven, especially those most in need of thy mercy." So it was taught in July. And then another prayer is that when we make a sacrifice, we can say a prayer, "Oh Jesus, this is for the love of you, for the conversion of sinner, and in reparation for the sin committed against the Immaculate Hearts of Mary." So that's the two prayers taught in July for the three children. We know the story that during August, you know, the children were actually kidnapped by the mayor, because he was thinking about, maybe the secret is about himself. So he wanted to force the children to tell him the secret, that they would rather die than to tell the secret. So eventually he released them, but they missed the August 13 apparition. And then on August 19, Our Lady appeared to them again, and Our Lady said, you know, pray much and make sacrifice for sinner. Many people go to hell because nobody pray and make sacrifice for them. So again, it's so important that in order to obtain mercy for sinners, prayer and sacrifice are really important. In September 13, Our Lady predict there will be a big apparition in October. October 13, so that people would see and believe. And then she also predict that, you know, St. Joseph will also appear on October 13. And so in October 13, then there was the great miracle of the sun dancing. But also during that time, you know, Our Lady, when she appeared to be sad and tell the people, you know, to stop offending God, because he was already deeply offended. And so during the miracle, Lucia, Francisco, and Jacinta, they also saw the apparition of the Holy Family, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. And then Lucia herself would also saw Jesus suffering and Our Lady of Sorrow. And then she saw also the image of Our Lady of Mount Carmel. So that's the final apparition of Fatima of October 13. Now we think about, you know, Francisco, Jacinta, and Lucia. Francisco was a quiet disposition. Talking about prayer and sacrifice, Francisco is more of a prayer type of person. And his sister, Jacinta, was emphasizing a lot on sacrifice. And then also thinking about what reparation for sin or praying for sinners, Francisco is more on the side of reparation, and Jacinta was on the side of more on praying for sinners. So Francisco, he always loved to be hiding in the church, praying before the Blessed Sacrament, and he called Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament the hidden Jesus. So he always loved to spend time with the hidden Jesus. And also, he had that desire to comfort Jesus. And he was asked, you know, which one do you prefer? To console, to comfort Jesus, or to pray for sinner? He would say, you know, he want to comfort Jesus first and then pray for sinner. Because, you know, don't you remember our lady looked so sad in the last apparition when she said, do not offend the Lord your God anymore, for he is already deeply offended. So that sad face of Our Lady have a deep impression on Francisco, that he loved to comfort Jesus. And then he also prayed many rosary. And then, you know, and then he would tell Lucia and Jacinta, don't you remember Our Lady said that I must pray many rosary to get to heaven? So he did pray many rosary as well. So he loved to pray the rosary. He loved to pray before Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. And he loved to comfort Jesus. Now, both Francisco and Jacinta, they died of the Spanish flu. So Francisco died in the year 1919, and then Jacinta died in the year 1920. Francisco, before he died, he asked Lucia and Jacinta to help him remember his sin so that he would make a good confession to receive communion. So he took that communion really seriously, that he must make a good confession before receiving Jesus in Holy Communion. And then when he received communion, he was a little bit happy, you know, telling, you know, Jacinta that, you know, now I'm more happy than you do because I got hidden Jesus inside me. And then he also said, you know, I'm going to heaven. But there I will pray a great deal to Our Lady, to Our Lord and Our Lady, that they may take you there soon. And so, you know, because Our Lady predicted that Jacinta was also going to heaven, right? So really soon too. So Francisco promised that he would pray for his sister, that she would go to heaven soon. And then, of course, he also promised not to forget Lucia in heaven. So, and then Jacinta, as mentioned, that her spirituality is somehow really shaped by that July 13 apparition, the three secrets, the vision of hell, devotion to the Immaculate Heart, and also the persecution of the church, especially the bishop dressed in white. And so for her, there are three important things in her spirituality. In regard to the vision of hell, she really ardently want to make sacrifice for sinners. She want to offer whatever she could for sinners. And then, you know, regarding devotion to the Immaculate Heart, she loved the Heart of Mary. Always talk about the Heart of Mary. And her favorite prayer is, Sweet Heart of Mary, be my salvation. And then, regarding the third vision about the persecution of the church, she had a great love for the Holy Father, the Pope. And so she loved to make sacrifice for the Holy Father. She wanted to pray for the Pope. She wanted to make sacrifice for him. And so that's always strong in the heart of Jacinta. Eventually, you know, she was sick like her brother, and she died in Lisbon in the hospital. And before she died, you know, she said something that really profound, really prophetic, because she wanting to know what sin bring people to hell the most. And then before she died, she said, you know, the sins which lead most people to hell are the sins of impurity. And then he also say, you know, luxury have to be put aside, that we shouldn't be just always thinking about material things. And then, you know, he would say, people must not be obstinate in sin as they had been until then. People must perform great penances. And so it's she did mention about many different things that sound really prophetic and beyond her age. before she died. Now, Lucia was the one who left behind. And it was pretty hard for her, you know, because of Francisco died and Jacinta died. And then one time her father also died, of a sickness. Also, when her father died, you know, Lucia feeling really strong suffering, she shouted at her room, you know, my God, I never imagined you had in store for me so much suffering, but I will suffer this for your love, in reparation for sins committed against the Immaculate Heart of Mary, for the Holy Father, and for the conversion of sinners. So, at that time, when Jacinta died, you know, she was really sad. And oftentimes when the cemetery was open, she would spend long hours so that she would be close to the tomb of Francisco and also her father. Because Jacinta died in Lisbon, so she was not very buried in Fatima, but actually buried in Lisbon first. Now, eventually, the bishop also decided to protect Lucia, that she need to be sent away from Fatima to a school run by the Sister of St. Dorothy. So with a really heavy and sorrow heart, she had to leave Fatima in 1921. In 1925, Our Lady appeared with the baby Jesus to Lucia. And it was that Our Lady gave her the important means of mercy, the devotion of First Saturday. It's a bit like what Jesus gave to St. Margaret Mary. But now this time, Our Lady gave it to Sister Lucia, the First Saturday devotion. So Our Lady promised those who do the First Saturday of the month for 5 months, the First Saturday devotion, that Our Lady would give the grace necessary for salvation at the hour of death. So that's a big promise. And so the thing to do on the First Saturday is to receive Holy Communion in reparation for sin, to go to confession, to pray 5 decades of the Rosary, and also to spend 15 minutes with the Immaculate Heart of Mary to meditate on the mysteries of the Rosary. I think for many people, they may find the last one a bit hard to do. And sometimes a simple way to do it might be, you know, okay, you pray 5 decades of the Rosary in reparation for sin. You can pray an extra 5 decades, you know, to think about the mystery mainly, you know, that might be helpful, you know. But that's the 4 things for the First Saturday devotion. And so when our Lord appeared, the infant Jesus appeared to her again, in 1926, Lucia asked, can people go to confession before or after the First Saturday? If they cannot go on the First Saturday. And our Lord said, it's okay, as long as they are in a state of grace when they receive Jesus in Holy Communion. Now, and then also, later on, Our Lady also appeared to Lucia and asked for the consecration of Russia to the Immaculate Heart by the Holy Father, by the Pope. So the consecration to the Immaculate Heart and also the First Saturday devotion are 2 important ways, you know, to honor the Immaculate Heart of Mary. So according to Lucia, you know, in 1984, on March 25th, when John Paul II, with the Bishop of the World, consecrated the world to the Immaculate Heart, that fulfilled that requirement. And so in 1989, Lucia, in the summertime, do have the strong desire to let the world know the consecration has been done and there will be effect. And then after that, in the fall, then there we see the collapse of communism in Eastern Europe in 1989. Now, there is a blessed in Portugal. Her name is Blessed Alexandrina. And she was being called the fourth seer of Fatima. She was a woman that when in the year 1918, she and 2 other women are in the house when 3 men want to, you know, attack the 3 women. And so Alexandrina, actually, she jumped off from the window, and then she went back with the wood to actually chase away the three men. But that jumping out, you know, to protect the other two young ladies, actually, eventually, you know, because the wound in the body gradually make her become paralyzed, that she was not able to move from her bed. At first, she really wanted to have a cure. But eventually, she really understood that her mission is to be a victim's soul, to offer her suffering to God. And Jesus also appeared to her vocation as a victim's soul by saying to her, love, suffer, and make reparation. So she suffered quite a bit, you know, both internally in her heart, but also, of course, physically being paralyzed. She actually, before World War II started, she predicted there would be a world war. And then she also predicted a way to help the world war, you know, to get rid of the world war is to consecrate the world to the Immaculate Heart by the Holy Father, by the Pope. And so, for a while, Alexandrina actually had the mystical experience from 1938 until 1942, that every week she experienced the Passion of Christ. She would be in ecstasy and she experienced the Passion of Christ, and even she was on bed for so many years, it's only during those times that she started to move and even walk, because she went through the motion of Jesus' suffering, like falling down beneath the cross, like being crucified, all those motions. Nobody could control her body, but she was going through all those motions. And she was suffering all those Passion of Christ every week with an intention. And the intention is to pray that the Pope would eventually consecrate the world to the Immaculate Heart. Now, on Holy Thursday, 1942, Alexandrina knew quite sure she won't experience the Passion of Christ on the next day. The reason was because at that time, Pope Pius XII made up his mind to consecrate the world to the Immaculate Heart. So her mission accomplished. So that year in October, the Pope consecrated the world to the Immaculate Heart, and according to Sister Lucia, it was because of that consecration that helped the world to finish World War II. So, but since that special event of the Passion stopped, another start again, is that from that time on, 1942, until her death on October 13th, which is, of course, the anniversary of the operation of the Fatima, until October 13, 1955, when Alexandrina died, she never ate anything except Holy Communion. So Jesus led her to have that experience to let the world know that Holy Communion is the real food. And also Alexandrina, she predicted the devil would have a great assault on the church. So we know that, you know, from the 1960s until, you know, recent time, a lot of people left the church, you know, not going to church. You know, the devil already at that time in the life of Alexandrina, she knew the devil was going to attack the church really strongly. So she already predicted that was going to happen. So Alexandrina was a pretty important mystic. And I'm quite sure one day she will be much more well-known than now. Now she is a blessed. In the north part of Portugal, you know, people may not know her that well, but I'm quite sure one day, you know, she'll be much more well known, because her message is pretty relevant to our world today. Now, of course, you know, another important devotion and also public revelation for our world today is Divine Mercy. You think about the time, Divine Mercy actually got approved pretty recently. Even though Faustina died in the year 1938, she was beatified by St. John Paul II in 1993, April 18. And she was only canonized in the year 2000, I think it's April 30th, by St. John Paul II.
So actually, her message become widespread acknowledged by the church, because it's also on that day when she was canonized that Pope John Paul II declared the Sunday after Easter would be called Divine Mercy Sunday. It's only 16 years ago. So it's pretty close to our time, the devotion of the Divine Mercy, when it's actually officially recognized by the church. When thinking about St. Faustina, you know, I will ask you to read the BC Catholic, because I'm writing a serious article on St. Faustina right now. You don't read the Chinese, you can read the English original. You know, my article actually is written in English first, and then you translate into Chinese. Yeah, so, but we think about the message of Divine Mercy, it's a neat way to sum up the message. It's called the ABC of Divine Mercy. A is ask for mercy, B is be merciful, and C completely trust in Jesus. So the A of Divine Mercy is to ask for mercy. We know our Lord gave the powerful prayer of the Divine Mercy chaplet to St. Faustina. And as I say, the chaplet is a bit like, really similar to the prayer that the angel taught the three children of Fatima. And then also, you know, that prayer is powerful, powerful that even sinner, when we say the prayer, will receive mercy from God. When pray for the dying, our Lord also will help the dying person. And so the Divine Mercy prayer becomes like the last hope for sinner. It's a powerful prayer that we can immerse ourselves to the mercy of God. We can pray for our loved ones. And of course, our Lord also taught St. Faustina to especially pray at 3 o'clock because of his passion. And also, he taught St. Faustina, if we pray a prayer with faith and also contrition and pray that on behalf of a person, our Lord will also grant conversion for that person. We pray for the prayer, you know, O blood and water which God spoke from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us, I trust in you. It's a prayer also taught by Jesus to St. Faustina. So ask for mercy. And then be merciful. Our Lord told St. Faustina, you know, we can always do acts of mercy by deed, by action, by our word, but also by our prayer. Those are the three means that we can exercise mercy to others. And so St. Faustina, she always helps people, you know, the poor people, she treat them with respect and dignity. And so she said, sometimes more is given when giving nothing than when giving much in a rude manner. So she always make the point to treat the poor people. They may come back for asking for help again and again, you know, but she was always patient with them and listen to people when they need to open their hearts. And of course, she also prayed for the dying. St. Faustina loved to pray for the dying, using the chaplet to pray for dying people. That's also an act of mercy. And then completely trust in Jesus. That Jesus telling Faustina, the greater the sinner, the more miserable the person is, the more right that person have recourse to the mercy of God. And also our Lord told St. Faustina, when we approach the sacraments of the Holy Eucharist, of confession, we need faith and trust. The more we trust, the more we can open our heart to receive grace. And so to trust in Jesus when we come to the sacrament is important. And so we think about, you know, those two really important devotion, you know, the Immaculate Heart and the Divine Mercy. And my invitation for you is that, you know, perhaps, you know, in your daily life, if you have not been praying the chaplet, maybe do your best to do the chaplet to Divine Mercy, especially during this year of mercy. And Our Lady asked again and again in Fatima to pray the rosary. That's a powerful way to honor the Immaculate Heart every day, to pray the rosary. So when Our Lady used the word rosary in Fatima, it's about the 5 decades rosary. So try to do that every day. If you are, you know, sometimes you might find it hard to do it all together. You might do maybe 2 decades in the morning, maybe 1 in the afternoon, 2 in the evening. Or if that's even too difficult for you, maybe try, you know, to do 15 decades in 1 week. Like for 6 days, 2 decades per day. On the 7th day, do 3. Like on Sunday, pray a bit more. So that on 1 week, you got 15 decades of the rosary. You know, but you know, it's better to do some. Even just 1 or 2 than nothing. So I think, you know, every day, do your best to do the chaplet. Every day, do your best to do a bit of the rosary, or if you can do 5 decades, or even more, you know, it's always good to do the rosary. When you're waiting for the bus, when they are driving, they can do the rosary, no problem. It's always we can pray the rosary. It's an easy prayer. If the little children can do that, we can do that easily. But one thing I want to share is that this morning, you know, I've been thinking about what to talk about tonight, you know, and then this morning I just finished reading a book and I'm going to start a new book tomorrow. When I pick up the new book, I look at that and I find, oh boy, it's what I want to say tonight. It's basically somebody put that into writing already. I want to show you the book. I haven't read the book, so I take a bit of a risk. I recommend a book that I haven't read, I start to read tomorrow. So, but I find I look at the type of content, I find it's what I talk about tonight is all there in that book. It's so amazing. Okay. So this is the book called The Second Greatest Story Ever Told. I bought it from Amazon, and then so arrived last week, Wednesday. So I just thinking about to start reading that tomorrow, and I look at the type of content I find, is all the thing I'm talking about tonight actually is there. And so it's so interesting. This is a book called The Second Greatest Story Ever Told. Is about Fatima, about Divine Mercy, about consecration to the Immaculate Heart, and all those ideas. But even something I mentioned earlier about Jansenism, Sacred Heart devotion is also mentioned there. So it just so happened that what I want to talk about tonight, actually somebody wrote a book already. So you can just get a copy and read that yourself. It's a bit like a little retreat to read spiritual reading. It's for Father Michael, is that... Gaitley, is that good pronounce? Gately. Yeah. He also wrote a beautiful book called The 33 Day to Morning Glory, and also wrote a book called The Consoling the Heart of Jesus. So those are also really good books. So if you buy in Amazon, you know, you have to buy a certain amount to get a free shipment, right? You can have all three together, you know, and then just to get a free shipment delivered right to your home. It sounds like so commercial, huh? Yeah, but I highly recommend, his book, because I was so amazed when I look at the table of content today, exactly what I want to talk about tonight is actually all written already by somebody else in the book already. Okay, so why don't we take a break, and then we can have a Q&A.